This week on Texans Huddle.
And you know, at some point you got to make a decision. You know, we're all in these positions as head coaches to make decisions. I'm just not ready to make that decision yet.
It was weird. I didn't know I said all that.
I don't even know what you said.
Yeah, I don't think I know either. But when you're in the heat of the moment, you know, you kind of get your blood flowing, and it's just, you know, us being competitive out there.
One of the objectives coming into training camp, Patty, was that we feel the most competitive roster possible. And I think when you look at especially the running back position and the quarterback position, we've got great competition in both spots.
My brother texted me. He thought it was awesome. My mom texted me. She didn't think it was too awesome.
Week two of training camp underway here at NRG Park. Hi, everyone. Welcome into Texans Huddle. Patty Smith alongside Andre Ware. Welcome to the show, Andre.
Well, thanks for having me. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you out here. A couple weeks into training camp. I know you've been out here most of the time. Just so far, your overall impressions of where this team is at this point heading into the first preseason game.
Well, I think they're farther along this year in the second year of the O'Brien regime, so to speak, where a lot of players, core players, know exactly what they're doing within the schemes on offense, defense, and special teams wise. And you can really see guys bounce around, a couple of new players intertwining themselves and what's going on here. But it looks to be a more crisp run practice. You see a lot of competition at a lot of different spots as well. These are the grind days, what you call them, so to speak, where you just kind of get through practices, start stacking practices. But there's a light at the end of the tunnel now. The first couple of weeks, you don't see a game in front of you, and then now you get to a point where, all right, we're playing the San Francisco 49ers on Saturday. But a lot of hard work. Players are still competing, and you see it throughout most of practice.
Well, how much do the players then change their approach, their attitude, their anything? Or what does change heading into a game week situation, even if it is a preseason game?
Well, it's kind of an adrenaline rush, and that's what you have to keep really in the back of your mind, is that Saturday's kind of the carrot that's dangling out in front of you. That's where you get your juice and your energy, and you continue to push through practices. And it's also an opportunity throughout most of the practices and leading into that game, that first preseason game, to continue to make an impression on the coaching staff to better your position.
Well, and two guys that will be doing just that. We've been talking about them all training camp, all offseason. I can't not talk about them to you, and that's the quarterbacks Brian Hoyer and Ryan Mallett. You've been out here at practice most of the days. Who's got the edge? Who do you like, and what do you see?
Well, I think both have done some super stuff. You know, they both look good at times. If you're just talking about from a consistency standpoint, where you're taking the overall reps, the ones and the twos, I think maybe Brian Hoyer would have a slight edge and would probably, in my opinion, start the game on Saturday. Now, there's no official word of that yet, but just judging from a consistency standpoint, he seems to have an overall grasp of things. And then Ryan comes in, he goes with the ones. He looks every bit as talented as you would imagine, and how people rave about his arm talent, between the ears, so to speak, of knowing the offense and being in it for a couple of years with Bill O'Brien, and then certainly in his second year here with the Texans. So both have had some good stuff.
Well, let's hear the latest on what head coach Bill O'Brien had to say about both of these guys.
I don't know if it's anything where you need to see separation. You know, at some point you got to make a decision. You know, we're all in these positions as head coaches to make decisions. I'm just not ready to make that decision yet. You know, I want to see these guys play a little bit against an opponent and see how that goes, and just, you know, make sure that we're giving them, whoever the starter is, plenty of time to work with the ones and get ready for the first game. But we're a ways away from that. So I don't think it's anything where I go in there and I think about I need to see separation. It's more about who's going to be the most consistent guy that does the best job of taking care of the football, moving the offense for this team.
Yeah, it's great to get out and, you know, that first preseason game, and, you know, we can do it out here as much as we want, or we can go to Washington as much as we want, but when it's an actual game and, you know, everybody's off the field except for those 22 players on there, I mean, there's nothing like that. So it'll be great to get a chance to get back out there and play the game.
I just want to do my job and get better, you know, make plays when plays present themselves on my team, and, you know, we'll celebrate when we get to the touchdown.
Well, Andre, no commitments from Bill O'Brien moving forward, really, but would it be safe to assume that if Ryan Mallett does not get the start and Brian Hoyer starts on Saturday, Is it fair to think that he could name a quarterback after that game without giving Ryan the same shot to start a preseason
game?
No,
I think Ryan will get a start in the second week. If you have a quarterback competition and you've taken it this deep into training camp, and I think it'll be maybe before the third game that a starter's named, but certainly no point a point after the or before the fourth game. Somebody will have to get that work. It's a simulation game of a regular season, as close to a regular season game as you'll get. But I think Ryan Mallett, if it's Brian Hoyer that starts Saturday, will get the start in the second game.
As a quarterback, would you not? I mean, I know you would welcome the competition if you were in that position,
right.
But you would think from a long-term perspective, you'd want that. You want yourself to be named and to move on and start developing all that chemistry and getting all those reps early on. It's kind of a fine line to walk there.
You understand what the staff's trying to do, but, yeah, you want to be named the starter. These guys wanted it before OTA started because now the team can identify with who the leader of this football team is and who we need to get behind and support totally. You get the reps. You get as many as you want until you feel like, okay, I'm comfortable with something. You just need it from a leadership standpoint, and I'm sure both guys want to know as quickly as possible.
Well, in the running back position, of course, so important to the success of either one of these quarterbacks, whichever one it is. With Arian Foster out, there's still a staple of guys back there with a lot of talent. What are you seeing from who we have out there?
Well, Albert Blue is probably the most experienced, or is the most experienced, within this offense. Chris Polk is really impressed in the last couple of days or since the absence of Arian Foster, has really stepped up his game. I'm actually kind of interested to see what he's going to do Saturday night and what he brings to the table from an overall standpoint. Can he be a three-down back where it's not first and second down and then in obvious passing situations? There may be some limitations where someone that's a better pass protector has to come in so that you give a Brian Hoyer or a Ryan Mallett some time to throw the football. And then from just a straight up, let's run the football standpoint, there are a couple of guys that can actually to do that job as well. So I think it'll be running back by committee throughout most of the season.
And OB is pretty pleased with his committee as well.
Yeah, I think right now we're pretty satisfied with what we're looking at right now. I think there is, you know, a bit of a numbers issue, maybe body-wise when you look at it. But we're not in a situation here where we just want to bring anybody in off the street just to have numbers. We can do a lot of different things offensively. You can see some of the things we're doing out there today. We put different guys back there, maybe guys that aren't necessarily running backs that are playing that position for us. So, you know, we have a diverse enough scheme where we can mix and match. And with that position right now, I like the way those guys are working. My personal feelings for Arian, I feel bad for him, but just hearing what I'm hearing out of that situation is he's doing well, and he's really expecting to come back at some point and help us. So that's basically where we're at right now.
And, you know, Kenny Hilliard is a guy that has really stood out to be, you know, every year there's kind of one of those guys that sort of steps up in training camp and you think, you know, this is one of those kids that has some potential. That's the guy that I kind of look at and that I like. Who do you have your eye on that stood out for you?
Well, when you look at it, you mean across the board?
Across the board.
Across the board. A couple of guys, actually. Andre Howell has made a nice transition from corner to safety. Not a big safety, but he's always around the ball, kind of that ball-hawking type defensive back that's really, really caught my eye. Keith Mumphrey, a rookie who came in here as a fifth-round pick. Every practice, you see him continue to get better. You see him continue to make plays. You wait on rookies to hit a wall. He has yet to do that. And then Max Bulla, second year, was a practice squad player last year, has gotten some reps in practice with the ones who knows is more knowledgeable about what they're doing in the defensive scheme, and you can see it in his play. He's just kind of letting loose, and I think he's really grabbed the coach's eyes as well.
You know, in all your playing days, did you ever have a teammate that draws as much and garners as much attention as J.J. Watt when he walks out here on the field?
Yeah, Barry Sanders. And he actually deflected it most of his entire career. So, yeah, he was that superstar when I was in Detroit. They garnered all the attention, and everybody wanted a sound bite from Barry. They wanted to know what he was doing away from the field, cameras following him at all times, and he could care less. And that's what really made, you know, Barry special to me, so to speak. And every individual is different, but I don't know that I've seen the magnitude. It's a little bit different day and age where, you know, in technology where everybody's tweeting things and Instagram and Facebook and all this stuff with JJ. So it's even to a higher level, so to speak, with him.
All right, great stuff. Thank you so much, Andre. We have to take a time out here on the show. Don't go anywhere. When we come back, I'll go one-on-one with DeAndre Hopkins. Stay with us.